そう。
Information. Good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Up North News with Pat Kreitlow starts now.
What is this? Who's digging in the toy box for some old theme? Aaron, what do you do? Wait a minute. That's not Aaron Zommers back at the studio in Madison. That's Luke Marshall Mathers from Dueling Tangents. No wonder the show is off to a flying start. Hang on a second. Hang on. This normally I hold up my Up North News coffee mug and I say, hi, Mom. But I have a coffee mug now that says, hi, Mom. So, hi, Mom. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the start of Up North News for a Friday. Cursed with the existence of Luke Mathers and Madison Forrest, but he got the memo, much like when he was my producer, for the mid-morning show. What day is it today, Luke? It's Dad Shirt Friday. He brought a dad shirt with him. I'm so proud. How are you? And how early did you get up to do this?
I'm shaking off the rust a little bit, Pat. It's an interesting setup going on.
Is that what you're shaking off? It looks like pixie dust is just falling out of your armpits over there. Jeepers.
Yeah, so it was a little bit of me being nervous about not waking up on time because I a little bit earlier than what I've been used to.
So what was it? When did you wake up the first time and go, is it time yet?
1 a.m.
Yeah, 1 a.m. Got back to sleep. Mm-hmm. Did you? And then when was the second time where you woke up and went, am I running late?
About 3:15.
3:15.
And I had a hesitation there. I was like, you know what? Maybe I should just get up for the day now. But then I fell back asleep and woke up when the alarm went off at 4:15.
Good for you. Good. See, you made it. You got here all right. You almost figured out where the music is. For opening up the show.
Like I said, shaking off the rust.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so for folks who would normally tune in and go, hey, where's the happy music? Where's the big intro from Don Rue? Never mind. It's all taking the day off. Today's a little special. It's our Mother's Day salute as well, which is why if you're watching the video feed over on Facebook, I'm introduced there as Joan's son and Luke is Margaret's son. So again, our happy Mother's Day early greetings. Are you doing anything for Margaret?
This weekend? Next weekend, I believe we're going to be celebrating Mother's Day together. Okay. So she is on a little girl's trip. She's one of eight children, one of five daughters. So her and her sisters and her sister-in-laws are out in Michigan this week. And so she's enjoying a little gal time with her sisters and sister-in-laws.
So, as my mom would put it, her Mother's Day present is that she doesn't have to hang around with you. That's how Joan would put it anyway. But instead, I'm going to play Scrabble with her all afternoon tomorrow because she loves her Scrabble. She's got one of those giant boards. It's called Super Scrabble. No game in under 3.5 hours.
Nope.
Oh, it just goes on and on.
On and on those ones.
Hey, I'm gonna start the official show now, if you don't mind. So I'll just be over here. Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota. It's another beautiful morning up north. It's Friday, May 12th. And coming up this morning, Crazy Uncle gets a show on basic cable. We'll talk to Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil about this week's CNN debacle with former President Donald Trump. We'll review any progress being made toward ending the hostage crisis that has Republicans threatening to force America into default and trigger a recession, or as Trump put it on CNN, you might as well do it now, which is what you might expect from a millionaire who would feel no pain from an economic downturn. And then we'll talk to Mark Jacob, author, former editor, and media critic, and ask if abnormal is the new normal. Is this just further proof that national newsrooms have learned nothing after all these years of covering someone who would undermine American democracy and embrace an authoritarian government if you let him? And then we'll wrap up the show with noted Chicago Cubs fan Dan Schumacher and ask him to diagnose what's gone wrong with the Milwaukee Brewers, because nobody knows failure better than a Cubs fan. So if they can diagnose what's going on with the Brewers, maybe we're better off that way. Unless, Luke, you have any suggestions whatsoever for the Brewers.
I think they need to score more runs and prevent the other team from scoring as many runs.
And that, folks, is why you don't hear Luke Mathers during Brewers games on the Fox Valley's Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM, or News from the Center and Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, where we are going to have Brewers tickets to give away later this hour at 6:50. We're going to have you call in. I'm not going to tell you why, what you're calling in to do yet, so, you know, hold your horses. Might be trivia. You might have to do a magic trick. I don't know. You just hang on. But we have two great seats to Sunday afternoon's Brewers game against Kansas City. That's a 1:10 start, Mr. Mathers, correct?
That is correct. I do know the schedule. I don't have any great terrific advice that I think would all of a sudden change all the woes. But I'm excited to watch the games.
You know, it's a 162-game season. That's, you know, patience. And enjoy the games, especially with those seats. I mean, you and I were there, what, a couple of weeks back? And that worked out great. So,
They're terrific seats.
Looking forward to somebody picking that up and seeing Sunday's game. Corbin Burnes will be pitching for the Brewers tonight. Three games at home, and then it's off to St. Louis for three, and then Tampa Bay for three games for the Brewers. All right, so we're going to take a break. We'll get your updated forecast. We'll talk a little bit about some headlines in the news, things that are just flat out getting old here in Wisconsin, at least as it comes out of the state capital. But just a reminder that whether you're up early with me or up to date on social media with Sherita Booker or getting some uplifting stories from Christina Lori in our newsletter, you can catch everything we do at upnorthnewswi.com or upnorthnewswi on social media. We'll be back in a bit. You're Up North. All we did was we let Luke fill in for Aaron for one day, and he's already charging out of the gate at 6:15 in the morning with Billy Squire. This is madness that's happening over here already. What happens when you let the afternoon guy suddenly come in here? This is not 2:00 in the afternoon. You can't play this rock and roll music like this so early in the morning.
I
he's not even going to say that. He's just going to dance in the other studio.
I disagree. I think I need a little extra something to get me going on this earlier morning. And so all the more important to get the rock and roll flowing early.
I guess whatever gets it going for you. Billy Squire's here because it's his birthday today, along with some others. We'll have a little music break in our history lesson coming up at about 6:50 when you get a chance as well to win some Brewers tickets. All right, let's talk about some things that, frankly, are just getting old over here in the Capitol. And Luke talks about this as well on Dueling Tangents with his buddy Brian, two to three, right? Weekday afternoons?
That is correct.
Okay. Item number one, Robin Voss says that he would like to see a transgender sports ban bill passed again because there's apparently you lose no points for bigotry. There's also the shared revenue plan that isn't going anywhere, and yet Republicans continue to work on pushing that through. Here's one element of it. This shared revenue plan would require Milwaukee Public Schools to put 25 cops in schools. Keep in mind the district already employs 231 school safety staff members. But the Republican lawmakers who believe in local control until they don't believe in local control say, nope, you've got to put 25 cops in there. And by the way, we're paying some of it, but you're paying some of it. And it's estimated, according to this Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story from Molly Beck, that the Milwaukee School District's share of that cost could be $1 million. Again, that's $1 million not going toward education, which really is just another not so cleverly disguised attack on public education. Oh, that's $1 million more that can't go to educating the kids. Ah, cannot believe these schools are failing. Why don't we just have private schools for everybody? Is what the legislature would be telling you if they could speak more freely. The Milwaukee Public School Board President, Marva Herndon, said Friday that the bill would destroy Milwaukee's right to self-govern and that it clearly has racist overtones. Board member Missy Zamber said, "I did not meet a single parent on the campaign trail who asked me to bring police officers back into our schools." Now, according to the bill, which was written by two legislators from the suburbs, school district costs of hiring officers would be partially reimbursed with federal pandemic relief funding. That's what the bill's authors say. But a fiscal analysis of the legislation by the Department of Administration said the funding source specified in the bill could not be used. That's what the professional staffers who know the numbers and know the strings attached to federal funds, that's what they know to be true, but it's in the bill anyway. And Assembly Speaker Robin Voss dismissed the memo's findings that they will not listen to the experts, you know, that tell them that.
I mean, really? par for the course a little bit, though. Didn't they just dismiss and disregard, you know, open records requirements all throughout 2021 and 2022? It's if Robin Voss doesn't like it, he kind of just avoids it.
Well, it's just showing, again, that waste of our time and that you're not ready for prime time. The amount of bills that have either had these kinds of errors where they're not actually enforceable is actually rather stunning over the dozen years or so where they just put things in without any regard for whether they can do it or not. It's because I feel like it, that it goes in there. And then, again, you have to come back and fix it. Doesn't do us any good. And then the third item I wanted to bring up in the "this is really getting old" department is Voss and other Republicans criticizing the appointment of Alex Lazary to the Wisconsin Technical College System Board and talking about the politics of this, as if Republicans have never engaged in politics, as if they have never, I don't know, put people on, say, the Natural Resources Board and then kept them there after their term ended as part of a conspiracy, literally, between legislators, lobbyists, the board member, probably a wink and a nudge from some conservative state Supreme Court members. A governor is going to put on who they want to put on, and it's in, you know, well within their right. And if he thinks Alex Lazary is going to be a fine addition to the Technical College System Board, he gets to do that. And for you to attack it as politics, again, you're wasting time, but it's all you know how to do.
I hadn't thought about Frederick Prenn in a couple of weeks, and now I'm mad that you've made me.
I was going to say, there goes your blood pressure.
Thanks for that one. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So that's where we are on that. The first thing I wanted to say here is that, and I will continue to say it, a state budget at the state level and a debt ceiling deal at the federal level. You and I, every regular schmo out there, could get this done over lunch. We could move some numbers around. We could quibble a bit. We could throw it up on a whiteboard, erase this number, put that number up there, and we could get it done. I know this. I was there. I know the frustration as a rank and file member of going, why don't we finish this already? Because we've got other things that we can work on. But instead, you're sending back a transgender sports ban bill. You're working on it. You're going to pass it. It's going to get vetoed again because it's the exact same language that was vetoed the last time. And the same guy is in the governor's office. You gain nothing by doing this. You gain nothing by continuing to spend time on a shared revenue plan that would get vetoed. I mean, unveil the plan. There's nothing wrong with that. Talk about what you think is great about the plan. Talk about how great you think it would be to cost Milwaukee schools $1 million to put cops in schools instead of, you know, books, computers, retaining teachers, things like that. Talk about it, but to waste all this time on it instead of saying, okay, can we get a deal done here because there's other things to do, apparently is just a little too much to ask. And I say this not to get people to tune out on stories about state politics and to make you cynical about it. That's actually not the intention here. The intention on my part for bringing these up is to tell you it's okay for you to have higher expectations. And it's okay for you, I mean, most people never meet their legislator, but if you do, it's actually okay for you to say, you know, based on what I'm hearing, it sounds like you guys could be doing your job a little better. You could be a little bit better focused. You could get some of these things done. You could stop passing bills that are going to get vetoed. You know, it's okay to not normalize this kind of gridlock, but first you have to hear about it and then feel good about expecting better from your legislators. 6:23 now on Friday morning. State regulators have approved the next step in a mining company's plan to do some exploratory drilling within the Shawamigan Nicolet National Forest. We've had Nancy Stensel on from Marathon County previously to talk about the very real concerns about a Canadian company called Greenlight Metals, also doing business as Greenlight Wisconsin, that wants to do a little exploratory drilling about 20 miles northwest of Medford. This would actually be in Taylor County. And this is all in an area where there is believed to be a deposit containing some 4 million tons that is a lot of copper and gold mixed in there. But as we've said before, in these kinds of situations that you have up north and in other areas, where you have these areas of minerals that would be in demand, they're there for some kind of geological reason. And the reason quite frequently now deals with the fact that there's wetlands and other water sources above it. You know, it's like saying, well, I've got this great stuff that's always at the bottom of a swimming pool, but I've always got to drill through the swimming pool to get there. And that's not an advisable plan by any stretch of the imagination. But I would add this much. There was a way to do this. There was a way to go looking for these minerals up north once upon a time. And it was called prove that your mining won't pollute. The law for many years had said, if you bring forward a mining plan based on mining that was done elsewhere and that it did not pollute and that it did not pollute after the mine was closed for, I think, a period of 10 years. Well, congratulations. You know how to do it right. Come on in and do it. And what then State Senator Toxic Tom Tiffany and others did, who are supposed to represent the clean water up north, is to get the law scrapped. And so the law has been scrapped. And so you see continued efforts to drill in places like northern Wisconsin and northern Minnesota. And Luke, I didn't get the clip ready, but at some point we should bring up a clip from Congress yesterday, a committee hearing, where the Congresswoman from the Bronx, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, was in a committee hearing about a mining proposal up in the Boundary Waters canoe area on the Minnesota-Canadian border. And there was somebody who was going to be a witness to talk about the benefits of the mining. And the Congresswoman says, hold on a minute, before you get going here, aren't you also a registered lobbyist for one of the mining companies? Well, he says, let me explain that when I retired, and she again is pressing, like, no, are you a registered lobbyist for a mining company? Well, I do this thing. I'm like a subcontractor for this. Yeah, but is it for a mining company? And he has to say, yes. You got the clip? Let's play a little of that.
Senator Bach, I was hoping you could help me clarify something. I see here that you are testifying today as a former state senator, but we've seen some materials here that suggest you may be a registered lobbyist within the state of Minnesota to lobby on behalf of Twin Metals Minnesota. Is that correct?
Well, thank you for the question. I retired after almost 30 years in the state legislature.
Yes. Are you presently a registered lobbyist in the state of Minnesota for Twin Metals Minnesota?
Let me explain it to you.
Is it yes or no?
I'm going to give you a yes or no.
I retired on
January 3rd and opened and started a consulting business, an LLC. I have a number of clients. Some of them require registration with the Minnesota Campaign Finance Board.
And is Twin Metals Minnesota one of those?
Twin Metals is one of them, and I just
okay, there it is. Twin Metals is one of them. Why? I would just love for the congresswoman from the Bronx to have to face off with her now colleague Tom Tiffany the next time he goes off about, you know, the wonderful benefits of mining in northern Wisconsin, that it takes somebody from New York City to expose what their actual motives are. And those motives do not involve maintaining the clean water and the precious resources that we have in northern Wisconsin. We'll take a break. We'll talk to Kia Vakil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom, coming up right after this break. You're up north. You are less than 20 minutes away from being able to possibly win Milwaukee Brewers tickets for Sunday afternoon's game at American Family Field against the hated Kansas City Royals. I'm kidding. Nobody hates the Kansas City Royals. They're like a non-entity. But it's going to be a fun game on Sunday afternoon. They are great seats. So get set to call in once I tell you what you got to do when you call in order to win these seats. All right. Let's turn to Kia Vakil, national correspondent for Courier Newsroom out in California, who had to subject himself, like others did, to the Donald Trump CNN quote-unquote town hall, which was really more a Trump rally complete with supporting crowd under slightly more cerebral circumstances. Kia, good morning and my condolences.
Good morning and thank you. You know, those Brewers tickets might be a nice, salve to the wounds.
Just, you know, you get out here, I'll take you to a game. I promise 100%. Look, the overview in my mind was you can't do Q&A with Trump. He won't shut up. He's going to make his points, and networks need to stop trying. This is a different model than what you're used to. What would you say is your overview of having that kind of an event with him?
I mean, it's basically a campaign rally, like you said. You know, they picked a couple hundred Republicans, Trump supporters, Trump leaners, you know. What did you think was going to happen? He has never been able to be successfully interviewed without running over the reporter like a bull, because he just lies virtually every time he opens his mouth or says something so incredulous that it's unfact-checkable. And, you know, there are, look, he's a presidential candidate. He's probably going to be the Republican nominee. Of course he has to be covered. There's no question of that. And, you know, but CNN last night did not act as a journalism organization. They acted as a entertainment media company because they wanted, basically, that wasn't journalism. That was just giving someone a platform to spew nonsense and some really pretty horrific things for an hour. And that's what he does. And look, I don't know that there is a great way to like interview or to, you know, just interview, interrogate Trump, but certainly you can't do it live. You have to do it either on tape delay. You have to continuously interject, and that just doesn't make good TV, and they wanted good TV.
He's very two-dimensional that way, that he just wants the TV show. Yeah. And so rather than treating him as a three-dimensional person, and the thing that I said yesterday, I'd still stand by, is if you're going to do something like this, fine, but then turn right around and make an annotated version of it where you stop the tape every time and say, here are the facts. I think that's you can't possibly do it to his face. He just won't let you. I think you agree with me that perhaps one of the more reprehensible things about the event was his promise to pardon a large swath of the people who rioted and had a violent, insurrection in the U.S. Capitol.
Yeah, I mean, he's suggested things like that before, but yes, that is certainly one of the more galling takeaways. You know, this is a man who incited the January 6th attack and tried to overturn an election to stay in office because he couldn't admit he lost. You know, and then he spent 2 years pushing candidates who supported that claim, failed most places, and has talked about pardoning people who attacked the Capitol, you know, contributed to a riot where people died. And these aren't just any rioters, you know, they are, he did not rule out pardoning the Proud Boys, who were just convicted of seditious conspiracy, four of those members of that far right group. So that is crazy by any definition of the word that that's where we are with the Republican standard bearer. But that's where he's been for the entire time he's been, you know, the leader of that party. This, we're now 8 years into the Trump era of Republican politics, and there is no bottom to it.
Furthermore, he went so far as to not say it in so many words, but to say that he is certainly open to the idea of a national abortion ban, which again is so far removed from the Donald Trump who tried to pass himself off as a moderate before this whole 8-year national nightmare began. In other words, he's just doing whatever is most opportunistic to him.
Yeah, and you can see abortion especially is an issue where he's kind of contorting himself into knots because he knows that it's a huge weakness for him in a general election, that he appointed the three judges who helped overturn Roe v. Wade. But he also knows that to win a primary, he has to at least pretend to be pro-life again. So, you know, you saw that last night where he said he was honored to be the president who oversaw he used the word terminate Roe v. Wade. He didn't actually do it. So he's, for whatever reason, taking credit for it.
Of course.
But he is responsible for it. But at the same time, you know, he says that. But, you know, fast forward a year, if he's a nominee, he's going to run away from that issue, you know, like the Roadrunner. But he did not rule out an abortion ban. He was given, I believe it was 4 or 5 opportunities to rule out a nationwide federal ban, and he would not take it because he knows he still has to appeal to the far right, extremely anti-abortion voters who make up a significant portion of the base.
You know, they make up a portion of the base. And here again, we get to the biggest problem with a two-party system where the two parties are, you know, farther apart than ever because of the continued rightward lurch of the Republican Party. But that he has to get those primary votes, but then at some point has to pick up some new support. Look, he was able to surprise Hillary Clinton and the country in 2016. I think 2020 was probably much more indicative, but I guess it's a fair question to say, does he pick up any new support from all of this? Or were there waffling lean right voters who now suddenly say, yeah, that's my guy? Or is he really just need as much of his base as possible to turn out, not just in New Hampshire, but in Wisconsin in the fall?
Yeah, I don't know that anyone who watched that, I think the ratings just came in 3.5 million people. That's not a huge audience. You know, it's 150 some million people voted in 2020. So, you know, no one who I am of the belief that he is not going to win over anyone with that town hall. He'll reinforce his base, which is what they care about right now, because he's trying to, you know, go for DeSantis's throat. But I don't know that anyone who watched that, who was maybe on the fence for him in a general election, like came away from that being, you know, changing their minds. He is who he is. He's always been who he is. And, you know, there's been some, mostly on Twitter, but, you know, a lot of people thinking it's a huge win for him. And I think that may be true in a primary, but I think it's, I don't know that it'll actually help him long run. I think really what the problem is it's a loss for America and a loss for journalism, which, you know, it's just sad because we're now in a place where, yeah, like giving him that platform is just reckless. And even if it hurts him in the long run, it's going to, you know, he mocked sexual assault survivors. Like that's terrible.
Right. About all, the only thing you can hope to do is with the questions, provide him with some more rope with which to metaphorically hang himself. And the one area he might have done that in is continuing to insist that he could magically declassify documents and that he could do whatever he wanted with it. You just had to think that Jack Smith, the special counsel, heard that and went, you know, just cocked an eyebrow and said, oh, go on, keep talking about this.
Yeah, I mean, anytime Trump opens his mouth about his legal complications or investigations into him, I have to assume his lawyers take several shots of tequila, because almost every time it creates a headache. And, you know, we'll see if there's any legitimate accountability in the criminal justice system. You know, he has so far avoided any real punishment outside of, you know, the recent the civil trial with E. Jean Carroll, where he was found liable for sexually abusing her. But that, because it's a civil case, there'll be no criminal penalties. So he continues to sort of dodge accountability, you know, in terms of actual punishment. But yeah, he did not help himself last night.
The last thing we'll say on the Trump town hall is just the rank hypocrisy about saying that, you know, when he was president, he wanted a clean debt ceiling bill and he got it three times. And when Caitlin Collins said, well, why are you against it now? His answer was, well, because I'm not president now. I mean, give him points for chutzpah, I guess, but we still face this debt ceiling. He's out there saying, well, we should just go ahead and get it over with, meaning default, which of course is what a millionaire is going to say. He's not going to be affected by a default the way millions of unemployed Americans would. And that's where we get into what you wrote for Up North News and for Courier Newsroom this week. And that is, you know, what a default really does mean for most of us, not for a guy like Donald Trump, who, you know, couldn't give two shakes about, you know, the impact on real Americans.
Yeah, and the impact could be pretty gruesome. You know, essentially what's happening right now is there's this arbitrary limit called the debt ceiling that determines how much the U.S. can issue in bonds and treasury securities to borrow money to pay bills we've already racked up, because the U.S. has cut taxes for decades for corporations and billionaires. We spend more than we take in taxes, so we have to borrow. And if we do not raise the debt ceiling by a date that could be as early as June 1st, we will default on our debt. And what that means is effectively we will either not be able to pay foreign the people who own those bonds, or we will have to pay them at the expense of people with Social Security, people who get Medicaid, Medicare, veterans benefits. You know, those payments might be delayed. And that's just on a government level. If you take zoom out to the whole economy, if we default, you'll see interest rates go up, the stock market will plunge, retirement accounts will get decimated. Depending on how long it lasts, you could see anywhere from 1 million to 8 to 10 million jobs like people lose their jobs. So it's a huge impact.
Very much so. And one that we shouldn't have to be at this point, but I have a feeling we're going to be talking about it for the next couple of Fridays here, just to see if they can pull back from the abyss or not. The other interesting headline from politics this week was, of course, George Santos, the New York congressman, who is now facing some actual criminal charges. You know, is saying that he's not guilty, is continuing to run for a seat in Congress, but there at least appears to be now, at least more so than Trump, the possibility that somebody's going to face criminal accountability for wrongdoing.
Yeah, I mean, George Santos is a grifter's grifter. The amount of lies and cons he's run is just literally, there was a month where every day there was a new story about him, mm-hmm. In a different grift. And that's, some of those have been illegal. So he's, you know, facing accountability. And he's not Trump. He's not a billionaire. He hasn't been on television for two decades. You know, he is an uncharismatic first-term congressman from a competitive district in New York. So, you know, Kevin McCarthy is still defending him because he needs his vote in the House. But, you know, he's a person. He's just a generic representative Republican to Kevin McCarthy. And that means he might actually face accountability, but it shouldn't be that way. Trump should also face accountability, as should anyone who breaks the law in, you know, those sorts of, in that fashion, as a political representative.
And here's the rub. It's not even about the accountability from my standpoint. It's mm-hmm. the fact that Republicans around them will not in any significant number actually call them out or criticize them, because to them they're a vote and they're on our team, and right and wrong apparently don't mean anything anymore.
No, they don't. I mean, we're unfortunately in a world where you have one party, the Democrats, who are by and large still playing by the old political rules, and another party that basically just runs over them and the Republicans and does not care at all about morality or the rule of law. You know, talk about pardoning January 6th officials. Like, they don't care about anything other than racking up power and winning. And that just becomes more clear day after day.
Yeah, Vakil, Courier Newsroom national correspondent. Thank you so much. Go watch something happy and fun on the TV over the weekend, please. We'll talk to you later on.
My best. Take care.
All right. We'll take our break here. We'll have a history lesson and a little music break and Brewers tickets to give away coming up right after this. You're up north.
At Radio 92.7 WMDX. My arms when I want you, and all your charms whenever I want you. All I have to do is dream. Dream, dream, dream when I feel.
Your one song on this day, 1958, was the Everly Brothers, and that stayed at number one for 5 weeks. All I have to do is dream. Luke Mathers is in for Aaron Zomers, and I wonder, music today, okay, and I'm trying not to go off on too much of a grandpa rant here, but what do you hear there? You hear harmony. What were the, you know, the Beatles were known for harmony. The Eagles were known for their harmony. Are there groups today that are noted for their harmony? I mean, is it just like the boy bands or not? And I'm not saying that, you know, to be critical. I'm actually wondering if harmony is still a thing that you look for in contemporary bands. I've stumped Luke.
I don't think so. Yeah. I'm tone deaf though, so like I can't really help with the.
Oh, you mean like literally tone deaf? See, I thought it was just figuratively. No, like no, you can no. Never follow any of our conversations over here. But okay, I get it.
I was in percussion all throughout middle school and high school, and almost considered, you know, trying out for the UW band, but didn't. I'm just tone deaf when it comes to that. Like, I would have to try so hard to actually do like the xylophone and all of the note aspects of percussion, because none of it came natural to me. Like, I couldn't just do that. Rhythm, beats, I'm all for it.
You're now excused. You're excused from any further having a musical analysis on whether melodies still work. As we mentioned earlier, it's Billy Squire's birthday. The rocker is now rocking at the age of 73 today. 73rd birthday for Billy Squire. Stevie Winwood is 75. Burt Bacharach was born on this day in 1929, but he passed away just about 3 months ago. And Kix Brooks of Brooks and Dunn is 68 years old today. He was born Leon Brooks III. On this day in 1967, Jimi Hendrix released his first album, just a little thing some folks had heard of by the title of Are You Experienced, which included Foxy Lady. Also, we talked yesterday about the first organ instrumental. I believe it was called the Happy Organ, and the FCC didn't pull our license when we mentioned that. And we talked about whether organs were used, you know, in music. I happen to mention Procol Harum's Whiter Shade of Pale, and of course, we've talked about the coincidences in the segment. Sure enough, yesterday afternoon, while working up today's segment, it was on this day in 1967 that Procol Harum released A Whiter Shade of Pale. On this day in 1972, the Rolling Stones released Exile on Main Street. It was their 12th American studio album. It included Tumbling Dice. One year later, in 1973, Led Zeppelin released their fifth studio album, Houses of the Holy, and that would eventually go to the top of the album chart. This is on this day, 1978. It is the 45th birthday for Alex Ebert, lead singer of Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros. again, this is one of those entries that Aaron could have put in completely just to see if I would read anything. And I now have enough faith in Aaron that even if there is no such person as Alex Ebert and Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros, I've just wished him a happy 45th birthday. Ron Burgundy goes on to read our next one. I am aware that this is a real tune. On this day in 1984, the number one hit was from Lionel Richie. I know it's been mashed up with Adele's Hello plenty of times as well. 1998, Lenny Kravitz released his fifth studio album with the inspirational name Five for his fifth studio album. It included his first hit to win a Grammy, Fly Away. This is probably the one we should have played at 6:15 just to get people waking up. And one more to share with you. And this one wasn't so much on the musical charts, but it did get a high rating on YouTube. And that was when Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield was on board the International Space Station, recorded a version of David Bowie's Space Oddity, and basically made a music video of it where he's floating around the space station singing, playing guitar. Here's a little bit of that. Ground control to Major Tom, the time is near. There's not too long. Can you hear me, Major Tom? So there you go. Can you hear me? I'm being informed now by Tony Zimmerman, one of our Facebook viewers, that Home by Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros is a great song. This could also be Aaron Zommers masquerading as Facebook user Tony Zimmerman. I wouldn't put it past him, Luke.
I'd be a little shocked, but it is a terrific song. I know that it's a song too, and so it was not just you on blind faith taking Aaron's This Day in Music History quotes and reading them on the air. It is true.
If I keep joking about it, one of these days he or you will do this, and that scares me. Roger,
I've been doing it for years. You just haven't picked up on it yet.
There you go. Yeah, Burt Bacharach. He's not a real person. Like Roger, Facebook viewer says, Burt Bacharach, Billy Squire. That's quite a difference. That's what I love about the birthday segment. Is you never know what kind of a combination you're going to get, and some days. You know, there are just so many things. Like I said, we could have been playing music from Brooks and Dunn and Steve Winwood. And then other days, it's just like the fates decided, no, we're just not going to do anything on this particular date. Oh, look, I've left myself exactly 2 minutes to give away some Brewers tickets. Well, it's pretty darn easy. 844-967-2789. If somebody comes through quickly within these 2 minutes, comes up on the air, gives a shout out to their mom by name, you get Brewers tickets. Two tickets for Sunday afternoon's game, 844-967-2789. First person who wants to call in, either in this segment or in the next hour, and give a shout-out to their mom by name, is going to get some Brewers tickets. Two great tickets. And I'm not even going to force you to bring your mom. So while... But you got to give her a shout out. So while Luke picks up those calls, we'll tell you that coming up in our next hour, we are going to have the weatherology update at about 7:15 or so. And then Mark Jacob will be joining us at 7:30. We will, of course, be talking a bit again about, the whole Trump CNN thing and what does it really mean? We're going to talk more from the standpoint of journalism and national media. And then Dan Schumacher joins us, as always, on Fridays at 7:50. And we'll talk about what it takes to get the Brewers back on track, because nothing analyzes the Brewers better than, a Cubs fan. What do we think, Luke? Is Randy standing by? And does he want to come on and say hi? He's got all of like 10 seconds to do it. Randy, if you're there, if you want the tickets, say hi to your mom quick.
Oh, hello, Mom. Happy Mom's Day. Looking forward to sharing them with you this coming Sunday. All our love.
There you go. Randy from Grafton's got the tickets. We'll be back. You're up north.